Well, good morning, everyone. So very good to see you. You know, it is that time of year when our students get ready to head back to school, our college kids start packing up to leave home, and all of us, well, we get in that habit again of slowing down in those school zones on our way to work. And you know, it is a special time of the year. But this morning, I want to ask you a question. Before you leave home, what is it that you're going to take with you? You see, no matter what age you are, no matter what stage of life, before you leave home, we all have something that we need to take with us before we go. Now, I'm not trying to remind you about you know, what you need to take to work or to school or off to college. I'm not going to try to remind you to not forget your laptop or your backpack or your number two pencil. You see, I want to share with you some of those things that sometimes often get overlooked in the busyness of life. You see, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15, it says, "Live life with a due sense of responsibility, not as those who do not know the meaning of life, but as those who do." You see, as Christians, we are called to live a life that is different. And as parents, it's our job to raise our kids in such a way that when they leave home, they leave knowing and loving God more than this world that we live in. You see, because for every one of us, no matter what age you are, 100 years from now, the only thing that will really matter will be our relationship with God. But you know, sometimes we forget that. We get caught up in the busyness of life, you know, family activities and school schedules and homework and music lessons and sports teams and jobs and the things that we enjoy doing. And sometimes we forget about those things that are so important. But here's the truth of the matter. Before you leave home, it doesn't matter if you go to the right school or you get the right education. It doesn't matter if you go to the right university or get the right degree. It doesn't matter if you go out and marry the right person or get the right job or live in the right neighborhood. Because if you leave home and you're wrong about God, it doesn't really matter what you're right about. So this morning, I want us to spend a little time talking about four different things that I believe that before we leave home, we need to take with us. And so this morning, if you're keeping score, point number one. Before you leave home, you need to take with you honor. Now, if you'll look in Mark chapter 6, look at what happens in Jesus' life here. Mark chapter 6, starting in verse 1, it says, "Jesus left there and went to his hometown, accompanied by his disciples. When the Sabbath came, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many who heard him were amazed. 'Where did this man get these things?' they asked. 'What's this wisdom that has been given to him that he does miracles?'" You see, what they were saying was, boy, this guy is great. I mean, his teaching, his preaching are phenomenal. And then on top of that, he does all these miracles. But look at what somebody says in verse 3. "Isn't this the carpenter? Isn't this Mary's son, the brother of James, Judas, James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon? Aren't these his sisters here with us?" And they took offense at him. You notice, it was those around him. As Jesus was preaching and teaching and doing all these wonderful things, that somebody said, "Hey, who is this guy that's coming in here and telling us how to live our lives? Isn't that Jesus? I mean, isn't that Jesus who grew up right here in this town, you know, just around the corner? Isn't that Jesus, that annoying kid that you remember when we went to school, he was always the teacher's pet because he always made 100 on every one of his tests? I mean, isn't that Jesus that made your kitchen table? Who is he to come in here and tell us how to live?" Look at what Jesus says here in verse 4. Jesus said to them, "Only in his hometown, among his relatives, among his own house, is a prophet without honor. Now, the word that Jesus uses here is really translated as dishonor. And this word actually means to treat as common or ordinary. Now, if you want to know how to have trouble in your marriage, you know what you need to do? You need to treat your spouse as common or ordinary. Oftentimes, I do marriage counseling, and I'll have couples that will come into my office, and they'll begin to share what's going on in their marriage and what's going on in their life, and it'll end up in one of the, you know, husband or wife will end up saying, you know, there's just something different about our relationship. It's like we've lost, you know, that spark. We've lost that magic. There's just something missing. Well, what often happens in marriage is as time goes along, we begin to treat each other as common or ordinary. You know, when you first got together, there was excitement, there was newness, you did special things for each other. You opened doors and you got presents for one another and you said those special things, you know, oh, I'm so glad to see you. You look so nice and I missed you so, you know, you say all those things. And what those do is they lift one another up. It creates that sense of excitement, that sense of romance. But what often happens in a marriage is, as time goes on, that we begin treating each other with dishonor, just as common and ordinary. You know, I think we've got an anniversary here today. Butch and Melanie Watterson, right back here. You guys stand up for me, would you? Butch and Melanie Water, they are celebrating 35 years of marriage. Let's give them a hand. You know, I know Butch and Melanie pretty well, and I think one of the things that they might share with you today, one of the things that has sustained their relationship, is because they honor one another. I mean, they hold one another up. I mean, look at them. They look like newlyweds. I mean, they're just as cute as can be. But the flip side of that word dishonor is this word honor. And that means to lift up or to hold up as valuable or to keep something precious. Now, I've got a baseball. Just looks like a common, ordinary baseball worth a couple of dollars. That is until you look a little closer at it, and you can't see it from there, but you're going to have to trust me on this one. I got a signature on this, Nolan Ryan. Suddenly, this common, ordinary baseball is suddenly worth a little bit more than just a couple of bucks. Why is that? Because of the name that's on it. And you see, the same is true for each one of us, because you are valuable. Not because of the things you've done, not because of your potential, but you are valuable because of the name that's written on your heart, and that you have the name of Jesus Christ written across your heart, and that makes you valuable, and that makes you do some honor. Now, the Bible goes on and talks about several different groups that we need to make sure that we are giving honor to. I want to talk about a couple of those this morning. The first set of folks that we need to make sure that we don't overlook when it comes to honor is our parents. The Bible tells us we need to honor our parents. Exodus chapter 20, verse 12. You know, there it is, God's top 10 list coming in at number 5. It says, honor your father and mother so that you may live long in the land your God has given you. Now, unfortunately, in our society today, oftentimes parents are not honored. I mean, you turn on the television, you can go see it out in the grocery store, at the mall. You can find kids that have not been taught to honor their parents. I'll tell you, one of the things that that Jenny and I have always done working in our house is to try to teach our children to honor their mother and father. And you might call us old-fashioned, that's all right. You can call us old-fashioned, but when I ask my children to do something, I expect a proper response. A proper response is yes, ma'am, or yes, sir, or yes, mom, or yes, dad. Now, you might be asking, well, why do you teach your children to say that? Well, that is one way of showing honor to your mother and father. And I know some of you might be thinking, well, how do I honor my mother and father? They didn't really lead an honorable life. Maybe you're thinking, you know, my dad ran off with another woman, or my mom didn't love me in such a way that I can really feel like I can show her honor. Well, understand, there is a difference between respect and honor. Respect is earned, honor is given. And the Bible tells us we need to honor our mother and father. Why? Because they gave us life. They gave you the opportunity to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. So we need to honor our mother and father. But there's another group that we need to honor, and that is those who are in authority. Look at what it says in Romans chapter 13, verse 7. It says, "Give everyone what you owe him. If you owe respect, then respect. If you owe honor, then honor." You see, it doesn't matter whether it's President Bush or President Obama. You don't have to agree with their policies, but we should hold those people in honor because of their position, because of their office. The same is true for teachers or coaches or our boss, because I believe this is a biblical principle that if we are going to be in a position of authority, we need to learn to be under a position of authority. So we need to show honor to parents. We need to show honor to those in authority. And then there's a final group here, and that is we need to show honor to our church leaders. 1 Timothy 5:17 says, "The elders who direct the affairs of the church are well worthy of double honor, especially those who work is preaching and teaching." And I certainly believe that our elders here at First Colony Church of Christ deserve our honor for their time, their investment that they have made in this church, the way they have led this church, the way they have helped grow this church, and we are certainly thankful for each of them. But you know, that should be just a way of life for each of us, to show one another honor, because you notice in Romans chapter 12, verse 10, it says, "Love one another with brotherly affection, and outdo one another in showing honor." You see, we choose to honor one another, not because of the things that we've done, not because of the things that we say, but because of the name that we have stamped across our heart, Jesus Christ. So before you leave home, I believe you need to take with you honor. But there's something else I think that we all need to take with us, and that is purity. Before you leave home, you need to take purity with you. Now, one of the things that I loved about being out at Camp Bandina last week is each night after all of our activities were done, after, you know, the kids were off in their cabin and lights were out, I typically tried to be the last one in bed. I made sure everybody was where they needed to be, and this was one of my favorite times of the day. It was quiet, and I often just kind of sat out in the middle of camp, out in the softball field. And I love that time because, you know, when you're out in the country, you know, away from the city lights, I love just to look up at that night sky. And oftentimes when I'd be out there, I would think of this verse from Philippians chapter 2, verse 14. You remember what it says? "Do everything without complaining and arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault in a crooked and depraved generation, as we hold out the word of life." Now, I don't know what the percentage is, but I do know, you know, when you're out at night and you're looking up at the sky, most of what you look up and see is that big black, you know, midnight sky. But what is it that you notice? What is it that you pay attention to? You notice the stars, right? I mean, it is so fun just to go out and look at all the stars. Well, that's the illustration that Paul is trying to give us here, because as the world looks around, they should take notice of who? Of us. Why? Because of the choices that we make. You see, we should be making choices that help us be blameless and pure. Choices in the way we dress and the things we say and what we listen to and the things that we invest our time in. Choices that are sometimes difficult, but choices that keep our hearts pure. Why do we do that? Because each and every one of us, we all have an opportunity to have influence over the people around us, for the people around us to take notice. You might not realize this, but people notice what you do. They also notice what you don't do. And Paul reminds us here, as followers of Jesus Christ, we need to honor one another, but also we need to make choices that are pure. Now, I believe there's something else that we need to take with us before we leave home, and that is integrity. I think we need to take integrity with us. You know, it's amazing that today in our culture, in our society today, people are more shocked by someone that displays integrity rather than dishonesty. I guess it's because we have become so accustomed to hearing about, you know, scandals of politicians and you know, athletes and movie stars and sometimes even church leaders. We've almost come to expect people to be dishonest, but that's not the way it's supposed to be. In fact, Proverbs chapter 11, verse 3, it says, "The integrity of the upright guides them, but the unfaithful are destroyed by their duplicity." You see, integrity is your behavior, is when your behavior matches up with your beliefs. See, all too often, Satan will come to us and he'll try to tell you, he'll try to tempt you that, you know, the easiest road in life is cutting corners, being dishonest. But we know that's not true. And I could go through a long list of things that happen when you lead a life that is dishonest. But what I'd rather do is highlight some of the benefits of living a life of integrity. So here's a couple things that are benefits of living a life of integrity. First, you can have a closer walk with God. In other words, you're free from guilt and shame that comes along with leading a dishonest life. The second thing, you have a built-in guide. When it comes to making those difficult choices between right and wrong, you've got the Holy Spirit right there that is always encouraging you to do what is right. Another benefit of leading a life of integrity is having a constant peace. In other words, you're not having to look over your shoulder all the time. You're always not having to wonder, you know, well, when am I going to get caught? When am I going to get found out? Instead, you have a peace from knowing that you're living a life that is pure and filled with integrity. And then the last thing is you can gain the trust and the respect and honor and influence of the people around you. Because once again, when you're living a life of integrity, people will take notice, especially in today's world, because there seems to be so much dishonesty in our world. So before you leave home, you need to take with you honor, you need to take with you purity, you need to take with you integrity, but also I think we need to take with us gratitude. Gratitude. You know, our culture and our society isn't much for gratitude anymore. I mean, we are almost addicted to self-gratification. I know that sometimes it feels like I have been just trained to think, you know, when I see something I want, something that I desire, you know, the first thing that pops into my mind is, oh, I want that. And when do I want it? I want it right now. And sometimes when I get what I want, you know what I end up doing? I end up justifying, you know, purchasing or getting whatever I want. I end up telling myself, you know, I'm a pretty good person. I work hard. I deserve this. Or sometimes when I get something that I want, you know what I say? I want some more of that. Or not just I want some more of that. I want the next thing. And we've become the society of instant gratification. And the problem with that is when you fill people's minds and lives with this instant gratification, they feel entitled to whatever it is that they want. And the problem with that is that there is very little room for gratitude. But look at what it says in James chapter 1, verse 17. It says, "Every good and perfect gift is from above." You see, when we begin to understand that the blessings of our life don't come from our own hand, don't come from our own ability, don't come from just what we want, but instead the blessings of this life, they really come from God. Our attitude begins to change. We begin to have an attitude of gratitude. Now you might be thinking, but Eric, I am tired of my old car. Well, let me tell you, it beats walking, doesn't it? You might be thinking to yourself, you know, I'm tired of my kids being noisy and making a mess all over my house. Well, You need to be grateful that your kids are healthy and that they are happy enough to make a mess in your house. You might be thinking, you know, our house is just too small for our family. I wish we had a bigger house. Well, you need to be thankful, because as hot as it's been this summer, you better be thankful that you're not getting the electric bill that family down the street in that big old house is getting every month at their house. You might be thinking, you know, I'm tired of my job. Well, let me tell you, in today's economy, there's a long line of people that are more than willing to do your job for a whole lot less money. You see, when we begin to understand that every good and perfect gift is from God, we begin to change our attitude, change our perspective on where things come from. Now, again, I believe that before you leave home, you need to carry with you honor, purity, integrity, and gratitude. But this morning, I've got an assignment for you, because I imagine as you're sitting here thinking about the things that I've been sharing with you, you might have something in your mind that you're thinking, well, yeah, I think there's something to add to this list. Well, we don't have a time for everybody to share that with us this morning. And so your assignment today is, as you leave today, maybe as you're going to lunch with your family or with your friends, maybe later on this week as you're meeting with your small group or maybe just a friend, I want you to talk a little bit more about this. What would you add to this list? What else would you take along with you before you leave home? Now, I remember the first time that I really left home. I remember when I graduated from high school and I was headed on to Abilene Christian University. That summer right before I started at ACU was a difficult one for my family. My parents had just divorced. My dad was going to stay in Missouri. My mom was moving to Dallas. My older brothers had already moved to other cities. I was headed to Abilene. For the first time in my life, my entire family, we were all split up. I had a lot of questions. I had questions about home and family and marriage. For the very first time, I was unsure about a lot of things, about who I was and about who I was supposed to be. I still remember that ride from Missouri to Abilene with my dad, and we got on campus and we unloaded our car and moved into my dorm room. We went to a couple of on-campus meetings. My dad didn't stay long after that. He didn't have to. Neither one of us were really sure what to say. But I remember something that my dad said. It was one of the last things that he said before he left me there at college. It's something that a lot of parents say, but it has stuck with me. He said, "Eric, you need to remember who you are and whose you are." You see, my parents did a good job of instilling in me the values and love for Jesus Christ. So when it came to those moments where I had a choice between right and wrong, more often than not, I trusted in God, because my parents taught me to leave home and take the things that are most important in life with me, and that is things like honor, purity, integrity, and gratitude. Well, we need to finish out our time and move on into our Bible classes. But before we do, I want to ask you to take out your communication card this morning. You can tear that out of your order of worship, and you can begin to fill that out. Make sure you look over on the back side of that communication card. If you've got a prayer request for us this morning, we hope that you'll write that down, because our ministry staff, our elders, they'll be praying for you throughout this week in anything that you ask us to pray about. Also, you'll notice there on your communication card an opportunity to sign up or learn more about small groups. I want to encourage you, if you're not in a small group, if you'd like to be in a small group and connected with a group of people where you can share life together, you can pray with, you can just fill that out. And as we're singing our last song, you can just pass those communication cards to the ends of the aisle, they'll be picked up. So right now, let's go ahead and stand just right where you are. I'm going to pray over us, and then we're going to close out our time in song. Let's bow together and pray. Our dear Father, as we bow before you today, Father, each one of us, we're all on this journey of life, and we're all at different points, but we're all headed to the same destination, and that is eternity with you. And Father, we admit that sometimes we're easily distracted on this journey. Sometimes we forget about the things that are most important, Father, but I pray that this week, as each one of us heads out to different locations, whether that's school or work or college or wherever it might be, Father, I pray that we would all take with us those things that are so important to remember, things like honoring those around us. Father, that we would take with us a heart that is pure, a life that is filled with integrity, and Father, that we would all be filled with gratitude for the good things that you've given us in our life. Help us as we walk closer to you each and every day. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.